members, good morning.
Good morning,
colleagues from the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning,
ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, Chair.
Yeah, we need to start with our meeting. I know very well we, towards the end of the year, we're pulling on the last year, all of us. But we will get there. Today we are having the department appearing before us, honorable members, just to brief us on how prepared are they for the beginning of 2017 academic year. Yeah, we usually have this briefing to prepare for the new coming year, where we are expecting them to focus on topics like LCSM, what is it that, how is the department ready in all the 9 provinces, the enrollment, post-establishment, when we talk about that, you cannot shy away from the, even the issues of floor space, because when you talk of post-establishment, sometimes we find that there are teachers, but there's no floor space. Just to get us, let us get a picture on how ready are we as South Africa for the 2017 financial year. So that's the briefing that you're going to be getting today. And hopefully we won't have a very long meeting. And tomorrow, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, we are having another meeting tomorrow where we are having our stakeholders in education. Before the end of today, you will be getting your pet cages as to the submissions that all of these stakeholders have submitted, things that you are going to be discussing so that you can just go through it, but they always be having their 15 minutes tomorrow to make a presentation, then we'll be taking the discussion thereafter. And next week, honorable members, we need to meet again for a very short meeting, but very important, because we need to adopt all these minutes and the reports that we have for the year, so that as we wrap up the year, everything, those what needs to be ATC is done. So it will be a very short meeting again next week, where we'll be wrapping up our year accordingly. But now, can I hand over to Mr. Brown in case there are any other requests for today's meeting?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. I've received open apologies, just a note that the students will be arriving the gate. Honorable Asha Bela and Honorable Mokoto will join us in the gate. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Ms. Jobeka, until you are the leader of the delegation today, can I then hand over to you? We always say we don't need any more introduction now. You can just take us through how are you going to be tackling your presentation, where we'll give you your... We're starting now, what time is 25 to 10. If you can go up to 20 past 10 with your presentation, then we'll be taking the discussion. Over to you then.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, and thank you for the opportunity to come and brief you on the school readiness, or our readiness for 2017. The outline of our presentation really was an approach that we are taking to assessing readiness. In terms of any areas of priority, what we've done is looked at admissions and registration, post-provisioning, LCSM, infrastructure and curriculum delivery. And then we will, because we have already started with pre-closure readiness assessment, we will give you some of the findings that we're picking up, that we're seeking to address at the beginning of the year. And then there is the last part, we'll try to look at the parliamentary visit into Limpopo and Eastern Cape, and look at what have been done or is being done around the area of education. Chair, just as an opening statement to say what has happened in the system over the last 5 years is to try and structure the monitoring of readiness and identify those issues that every time keep coming back. And those issues mainly were around registration of an early so that we don't spend the beginning of the year still dealing with registration to the extent that is possible. Procurement of LPSM and state of, you know, LPSM, our workbooks, the textbooks in the provinces as well as stationery, so that even though what the sector tries to do to make sure that those are procured and delivered before schools open. And the last one is around issues of teacher provisioning. That's so we can try and make sure that there are teachers for all grades and all subjects of the opening of what we have done then over the past 5 years is really to look at sector plans or, you know, guiding frameworks in all of those areas so that there are key milestones that have been identified and the entire sector works within those timelines. And this enables us to monitor and be able to say what each province is. The monitoring tool itself, well, let me say two, because they're slightly different for pre-closure and for opening of schools. Those are agreed to by the head of education departments in provinces at HESCOM, and then we monitor so that even if provinces add to what is core, there is a core that everybody uses. So we use the same monitoring tools, differ slightly simply when provinces decide that in their particular province there's something else that they want to spend some monitoring around. So based on that and the framework, we are seeing that the system is moving together, but there are challenges that remain that we continue to struggle with. And those, especially, is the issue of infrastructure. Infrastructure, you know, particularly ablutive facilities, furniture for both learners and teachers, and mostly in the more rural areas, that remains a problem. So we tend to really heighten our monitoring around that. Although for monitoring ablutiveness, we're looking at the basic infrastructure because the more bigger infrastructure issues are dealt with by the line function. The second one, which, you know, continues, is the issue of LTSM. Although LTSM is delivered by the DPE, which is more in workbook, that, you know, that problem is not so much. It is more your provincially procured LTSM, such as your top-ups and stationery. Those continue to be a problem in terms of provisioning across. And then in the Eastern Cape, the issue of teacher provisioning has remained a problem over the years. So those are some of the issues. May not cover all, but those we have picked up are not moving as we would want them to. What we then we have pre-closure readiness assessments, because the assessment framework is preparation for the new year that you just have to have before school close. And again, as I'm saying, these are done on agreed upon frameworks and focusing on particular areas. Our pre-closure readiness is conducted at two levels, or can I say three. The district conducts its own, the province complements, and we in the DBE come and do sample monitoring. Our DBE team has been doing pre-closure readiness. You know, they started on the 7th of November and finished on the 25th. And what we did this time, instead of sampling across, we did two districts per province and did two seconds per province. And therefore, our report is that, and we will look at different districts when we do it in general. The areas of priority care, I won't go over them again. I had already mentioned them. They remain the same. Those are the areas we're looking at. For beginning of the year assessment, again, the DBE will do its sample monitoring, and instead of just, you know, just a couple of schools all over, we will again do two districts per province, two circuits per province, are different from the ones that were done now. However, where we picked up major concerns in particular schools, those schools will be revisited, even though they are not in the target provinces. What we then also do, our approach is three-pronged. We then follow up in the middle of the year, and for 2017, that will be from the 15th to the 20th of May. And these visits are primarily to go to the areas of concern, where we have raised issues with the district, with the province, for these to be attended to. We then go back to see whether there's monitoring. It's not the only way we follow up. Our call center calls the schools first, you know, throughout to check whether the issues have been attended to. Center goes then to the areas themselves. Around admissions and registration, as I said, like in all the key areas, we work to have frameworks that streamline the process across the country. The areas that we have guided the system on are really five. One is to make sure that annually there's an admission circular released, so that it is not something that you say was released last year. Annually, provinces have to release these admission circulars, and they've got annually to determine the period for admission. And establish provincial and district admission teams. These are primarily to deal with appeals and really children who have not been placed, all of those, the challenges, are that so that you remove that burden from the school and the school can start with the learning and teaching processes. And then the admissions information has to be placed on the provincial website. And lastly, just to really conduct strong advocacy, because we continue to have parents and learners who don't think it's important if it's going to be going to school next year, why really the stress they go to the school beginning of the year. So the issue of advocacy for us is very important. We think we've moved a long way since this started. That the issue of admissions in the year prior to a new academic year, that's been now institutionalized. At least they do that. It's not done 100% perfectly, but everybody knows that admissions have to be in the year before. Province, you know, the secular, all of the things that I said we want provinces to do. But perhaps, let me just say, look at the last 2 years, that what we have seen now is much more reduced. Apologies about the presentation not being a technical glitch. We see reduced tensions between the departments at provincial level and FDD, because that was a contested terrain, because now you're working within a framework that's clear to everybody. And just some of the things that we see which are moving us forward are the beginnings of admissions happening online. And their housing and Western Cape have started, and hoping that something, that when we see that it's working well, we can make sure that all provinces use it. This is the picture per province. I don't know what page it is on the 813. On page 13, we've got an update. It is a slide that shows all of the provinces, all of them reduced, issued the circulars. All of them declared the admission figures for everybody to know what it will be. And there are teams in all provinces that have been The slide that I'm speaking to right now it's on page page 7. On page 7, and it shows the progress per province on all of the critical areas that we said we are looking at. And the only part where we have incomplete, adherence by provinces, Free State still has not put the admissions information on their website. We also, Mpumalanga is the same as Western Cape, and then the Northern Cape and Northwest information is outdated currently. There are challenges that we continue to encounter around admissions. One is the issue of migration to major cities, the new settlements that come up around the big cities. And it's a major problem in Gauteng, KZN, and Western Cape. And in KZN and Western Cape, we find that there are still some schools that are charging registration fees, and that's in our line of sight, so that's something that we're following up on. And we find that some former Model C schools also, you know, deviate from the admission policy. So causing some inconsistent application of admission policies, and again, that's an area we're looking at. In the provinces that are close to boundaries of other countries, the national boundaries, let me put it that way, we experience a challenge of a number of undocumented learners. And provinces that are challenged with a shortage of classrooms, you know, more than others is Northwestern housing. And we're finding that your predominantly rural provinces also still take long to resolve their PIDs. So PIDs are registered, but the real professional timely resolution is slow. And those are the Eastern Cape, the Mpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. So these are some of the challenges. Another big area right now linked to the areas that I've identified is the issue of unplaced learners. We know that there are still learners that are unplaced, but the unplaced learners, to a great extent, are in line with provinces that have high numbers of people coming in from other provinces into their provinces. Gauteng is experiencing the highest admission challenge. Applications that they receive from grade 1 and grade 8 are almost 300,000. Those are your applications. And they place over 133,000. However, they still have about 125,000 learners unplaced. But what we have seen in Gauteng is that they more often than not, they rise to the challenge. We will still have learners that are being placed at the beginning of the year, but it's because of the enormity of the challenge. And if you look at that, I mean, Western Cape is the second one, but Western Cape has, you know, under 60,000 unplaced learners to the 124,000, but it really is about the numbers that come to the province more than anything else. There are other hotspots in the rest of the provinces, and those would be, again, we've got another slide there, and I think if you're using the hotspots are on page 8. Eastern Cape has its own hotspots in Eastland and Port Elizabeth, Kingstown, Queenstown, and Tata. Free State, they are fairly manageable from, you know, what they say, but it's more around your Bloemfontein, but they're manageable. KZN, again, say they are managing the numbers, but it's definitely Kamalispe, in Limpopo, Mpumalanga just says they are managing. Northern Cape, Francis Barth and John Taulu. And there it's because of the parents who want to go to schools that offer English as a medium of offering, and that's where we get our pressure. And the Northwest hotspots have been identified there as well. Linked to the issue of admissions and registrations. We then put in a subtopic around SHN for 27, the readiness of SHN to deal with, to assist us with the registration. This is one area where there has been significant movement. But, you know, about 95% of the schools are reporting to provinces through SHN. Not all of them are connected. However, the SHN team throughout the country have a process, which is a manual paper process, but they are linked to SHN. And as schools get connected, then it becomes an electronic system. What is good about using SHN is that we're able to capture the learners that are new on SHN, but not activated unless the learner comes to that school. Because otherwise children come and you admitted them and they decide to go to another school. So the activation is on the physical reporting of the learner at the new school. But SHN has also been able to assist us with just managing the issue of learners that leave the school so that they don't remain there, because the issue of data has been an area that has been a challenge to the system. And this year, just to make sure again that we strengthen our utilization of SHN in the way that we want, there was training across the country, you know, starting in September to November, and we focused a lot on the utilization of SHN for admission. Again, that's the number per province. You can see that we've broken it down, and that would be on page 9. We've broken it down according to public schools and independent schools. Western Cape have been using their own system all along, and therefore, you know, they are latecomers in this, and which is why the numbers are where they are. Here, I want to move to the next area, which is post-provisioning. The post-provisioning implementation starts on page 10. Now, again, in line with what I said, your sector plan or framework that guides the system, post-establishments are meant to be communicated to all schools by the 30th of September. And then the implementation of the post-provisioning norms is one, which has been made one of the sector performance indicators which are assessed quarterly, just to see where provinces are at. Working with provinces, they all committed to issuing staff establishments to schools by the 30th of September. However, if you look at the table on page 11, we then have here there an indication of when the posts were declared by the NDC. And as you can see, Limpopo declared later than expected. They only declared now on the 8th of November. Mpumalanga, there was a delay as well. Now, some of both of these have to do also with the challenges by our partners, because particularly Mpumalanga has concluded their processes well in advance, and yet they were not able to then meet the establishment to school as planned. Otherwise, this is where we are, and again, we had to work very closely with Limpopo, but the posts are now, they have the staff establishments have been given to schools. Tech, can I just emphasize again that the importance of this is the national guiding framework is that because you've got timelines, you've got milestones, you then aim to monitor the system in its entirety. Here about, we've got the issue of filling of educator vacancies. We've got the plans from provinces, and these will be monitored quarterly. All provinces have also submitted their plans on the placement of excess educators, because we still have excess educators. And only 3 provinces have submitted their plans for the placement of Sunza Lushaka versus and the Southern, Northwest, and Western Cape. We are continuing to work with others with expectations. We give them the expected, the graduates who are expected to qualify, who are on Funza Lushaka, and we expect them to be placed early at the beginning of our 2 years. A table of excess educators for 2017, and as you can see, we've got a high number of excess educators in the Eastern Cape and in KwaZulu-Natal, which again in the Eastern Cape becomes a problem because we talk of vacancies and we talk of excess educators. Our team, our HR team, even as we speak, have gone down to the Eastern Cape because there are challenges that have now arisen in this last week around the issue of the PPN and how they are facing teachers, but the team is there on site. Chair, the other thing that we wanted to raise was to alert the honourable members to is just the high vacancy rate that we're picking up in promotional or school management posts, and that's what we're looking at, because then many of these leaves are occupied by temporary educators, and our guidelines to the system is that temporary educators should not exceed 10% of the total, because you know you will always have temporary educators, but they cannot exceed 10%. But what is worrying us is that the two provinces that are below 10% are Eastern Cape and Limpopo. So we want to look at that because we know that they are challenges. So it may not always be a good thing to see the number that is down, and we continue to monitor. But you know, on principle, our guideline is that not more than 10% should be temporary educators at any given time. That slide shows the temporary educators as at June 2016 across the system in all of the provinces. I will then move on to LTSM. And again, with LTSM, we work with the sector plan, and that has been in place and communicated to all of the provinces. And according to the sector plan, the materials should be in district provincial school warehouses between September and October of every year. And those are the areas that we're looking at, the workbooks, the textbook stationery, availability of an LTSM inventory, braille material and other assistive devices, as well as, which is key for us, the availability and effectiveness of the book retrieval policy. This is where we are in terms of the, I won't bore the members by going through every single thing, but to look at volume one of workbooks, which is something that the DBE is responsible for. If you're looking at it, you will see that throughout, if I look at the national average, the percentage of schools that have had books delivered to them is 99.9, and that is the workbook. And if you look at the percentage of books delivered, is at 99.5%. Those are the workbooks. Now we don't use the reports from provinces alone on this. We've got a system to look at proof of delivery. So it is the proof of delivery notes that tell us where we are, rather than reporting by provinces. And this is volume two. Remember that we have it in two volumes. So this is volume two, which is not for the first day of school, but in the middle of the year. If you look at both volume one and volume two, then that is where we are with workbooks. Well above, you know, it's around 99% both in terms of the schools that have that say they've been delivered to, that we know have been delivered to, and the books that have been delivered, and we're mopping up in the rest of this room. Chair, around LTFM, we've got the issue of which we're picking up throughout in our monitoring, and I know the honourable members have picked this up, and when you go to the schools on the grades, I'm not talking about books now, on LTFM, where you expect to find books and you don't find them. Where we are challenged is the issue of retention and retrieval of books towards our goal of universal coverage. The books, the retrieval policies, although if you look at an average globally, it seems high, but a number of schools continue not to have retrieval, not to implement retrieval policies that work. Well, provinces always say they address the shortages as they arise. We are experiencing a problem around that, just to make sure that it is really effectively done, but we continue to work with provinces around that. Then, if I may look at, I presented on workbooks, which is really managed by the DBD, and stationery and textbooks managed at provincial level, but this is what we have currently. In the Eastern Cape, they intend to have the delivery of textbooks completed by the end of November. And the province is procuring centrally for all schools. In the Free State, from the Free State, we didn't receive a report on the textbooks, and we are following up on that as we monitor closely, but they also procure for all schools. Counting, they delivered as is there, and they show what they delivered to Section 21 schools, which is where sometimes we have a problem. What has been delivered to Section 21 schools, what has been delivered to Section 20 schools, and the total delivery. Chair, I will not go through it one by one, but simply to say where we have some challenges. One, we are unhappy with the lack of reports from Free State and from Limpopo. And also we are concerned that the Limpopo tender for stationery is still not finalized. We have been working with it, but stationery tender still not finalized in Limpopo. And in the Eastern Cape, an issue that has arisen is the quality of the stationery that's being delivered. But that's the picture as at 19th November. Chair, I will move quickly to infrastructure. Infrastructure, as I said earlier, our primary focus when we do school readiness monitoring is really it's about availability of minimum infrastructure. And we are looking at ablution facilities that are safe and clean in the schools that we visit. We look at classroom accommodation, whether it is sufficient for the numbers that have been admitted. We look at furniture as well as scholar transport, with scholar transport is required. So those are the things, because scholar transport falls under the team that deals with infrastructure, we look at it there. In the last list, you see that one of the things that we look at also, the bigger one of infrastructure sanitation, this is where we reported, around the norms and standards. But the last one, which we as a team that monitors readiness focuses on, is also the issue of maintenance. Because many of the schools are dirty, the toilets are broken, the windows are broken. When within the school, there is a school maintenance budget. So what we look at for the following year is whether there is an infrastructure maintenance plan in place for 2017, and what money has been made available for that. Here, this is part of what we are monitoring as a department around sanitation. Those are the big things that are monitored through the infrastructure team. We use this information as we go out to look at readiness, to just check, for instance, if they say in Limpopo there are no schools that have without sanitation. When we go out to pick up, we know that there was a major drive under former MEC Motwali to put in VIP toilets in all of the schools. But with maintenance and all of the those are not working. So our responsibility as a team is to go out and say, you say that, you know, we have found these. Go and look at it. And those go both to the province and to our own team that deals with infrastructure. So the following slide are issues like that. It's not picking up from us. It's not saying that we are saying we pick up. This is the report that we're getting from our infrastructure colleagues, and we use it in the monitoring to see whether, in fact, what we're picking up resonates with what they're giving us. It's the same with water. And you see there are provinces indeed that say none of their schools don't have water, none of their schools have problems with sanitation, none of their problems have problems with electricity. And we're looking into that because we know it's a major problem, and we so that process also works as a check. You know, we're looking at what are the checks and balances, so that as they give us this, we come with the information to say this is what we're finding, and this is indeed what is happening on this. Same with the replacement of inappropriate schools. We come and report on these inappropriate schools because they have given us the information, and we point them in the right direction. Here, school furniture, also the major problem. It has been a problem predominantly in KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. The worst hit was the Eastern Cape, and as the honorable members may know, we also had a court challenge in the Eastern Cape. So what has just been completed or concluded in the Eastern Cape is an audit of school furniture for all of the schools. And therefore, before the audit was completed, the distribution was in stocks and stuff, because what we were finding, because the team from GDP that assisted the province to do the audit of school furniture so that we can complete it. What we were finding is that some schools had an oversupply, some schools had no supply at all. But the furniture has been procured and is now currently being distributed. We will continue to monitor whether all the schools, based on the audit that has been completed, that all the schools get the furniture that they need. Okay, leather transport is an issue, and we have quantified, based on reports from provinces, the shortages of learner transport. They know the learners who qualify, and yet they are not able to provide, and we're working with them on their plans to provide. The only provinces that have managed to provide all learners who qualify at the present moment is Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape. But I do want to also say, in the system, we're actually providing more learner transport than was the original target, because the need is great out there. The target was also based on the finances that we have. But we continue to work with all other provinces, particularly for the worst use places, so that the learners who need transport are transported. In terms of curriculum delivery, there are a number of areas. One, the honorable members will know that what we have driving the system is the national strategy for learner attainment, to make sure that we continuously improve the learning outcomes of our learners. It's based on 9 pillars. I'm not going to be presenting on the 9 pillars. Suffice it to say, we report quarterly as a system, and the dates are out there for everybody to know, and what happens per quarter, again in line with the sector plans and framework that I had referred to. But complementing the reports that come to us are on-site visits, oversight visits by the DPE to all of the provinces to look at issues of curriculum implementation. And again, we've got our dates per quarter, whether it's quarter one, quarter two. Every province currently knows when they will be visited. The issues that are on the table are known to all, because we're all monitoring using the 9 pillars that are in our national strategy for monetary. There are concerns that the DBE has received on our curriculum and, you know, the CAP and some of the issues around CAP. These have been raised by teachers and other specialists. What the department has then done is to take these to headquarters, because you look at them and you can see that some of them need to be addressed. And therefore what we have done, advised by headquarters and supported by CM, because the concerns that were raised have been corroborated by our own monitoring of the NSLA. So we know that these are real issues. What we have done then is have come and said those challenges that don't need investigation, those challenges that we can resolve immediately must be resolved. So that as we start 2017, those things have been addressed, and that's what we will do. There are, of course, other issues that we cannot just do. We see they're a problem, but they need much more thought and much more engagement if we are not to make the same mistake. And here in the presentation, the honorable members, we see some of the actions that will be for immediate implementation in January 2017. I'll not go through them, but they are there in the presentation. What are issues that we have identified that have to be done, and we have the support of headcount. Just quickly, Chair, to look at pre-readiness monitoring, I did say there was a team from the DBE that went out. Those are the numbers in the, and we have to report before we finish, because I needed to finalize the presentation for the honorable chair, but I didn't want to bring different presentation here. And so this was just before we finished. Those were the numbers as the 22nd, I think. Oh, no, 9th November. It was the first week of monitoring. And those were the schools that we had visited with. Of course, we visited much more now, and the issues come up more or less the same. But some of the preliminary findings from the on-site monitoring is that over 50% of the schools in Eastern Cape, Kansas, and the Mpopo, Mpumalanga, and Northwest have not done a very critical process at the end of the year, which is the school self-evaluation. Because without that school self-evaluation, it becomes difficult to see how they plan for the following year and plan for improvement. And that's a matter of concern. And can I say some of the provinces that are high performance, like Housing and Western Cape, the issue of post-school evaluation complemented by official monitoring on same issues. I mean, self-school evaluation is key, central to the work that they do. Also, we found that although we've got these timelines and dates, even on admissions, we found that 40% of the schools had not finalized their admissions, which was a problem. And filling of posts slow in some provinces, particularly Cape and Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Northwest. We have therefore, but let me just say where we were quite pleased, 94% of the schools that we monitored had received their post assumption for 2017, which is quite an improvement on what we've been able to do in the past. We find that there are still schools, even though we're making the progress that we think we are making, in LTSM and guiding and working together as a system, the issue of textbook retrieval is a major problem. And there are, among the schools monitored, there are provinces that come up as being particularly weak here, Eastern Cape, and Mpumalanga. And then the issue, Chair, around infrastructure that I said we are prioritizing, because we're saying you've given infrastructure. We've seen this even with some of the very beautiful ACIDI schools that the department has been delivering. That you deliver this beautiful plant, and the maintenance is poor. So what we are looking at in each school is the maintenance plan, because there are only things that have to be fixed. And again, you can see that Eastern Cape, Kansas, and Mpumalanga, and of course, many of the schools have the maintenance plan. Chair, this is just a brief oversight on the visit. And Chair, I don't know if you want me to go through all of this, but what we've done is two things. We've looked at the broad issues that come up as a challenge across, and we've looked at the system and what we are doing, because even if you pick it, those up in one or two schools, the DBE has a responsibility to make sure that if they seem like a problem, there is a strategy for the country as a whole. So that's what you will find in many of you. But here we also send, for your very recent visit, a school by school analysis where we of the challenges that you picked up and the things that are being done. Where we are working with the education, we're meeting with them on the 30th, which is tomorrow. We're meeting with the DDG responsible for this area and the cluster chief directors for these districts. Because what we didn't find, and it's in the report that we gave you, we did not find tight timelines to say if this is going to be done. Don't say infrastructure, we go and do an assessment at this school. Tell us when so that we can report back. We will be doing that tomorrow. So we couldn't get it from them ahead of time. Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you very much, Mr. Strubega, for the comprehensive presentation on how the department is ready for 2017. So, Mr. Strubega, before I give a question up for me, but maybe we need to devise a strategy on how we love to have a report from the provinces. I'm very worried about more especially that light on the sanitation from the provinces. Because I know that from all of us said from here, we know very well that what is reflected in that light. It's not the picture that is saying. Yes, I fully understand you. That's the information that's given you. But really, it just cannot be. That slide is totally out of order. It's one thing that really, but we are going to look at it. Maybe we need to find ways and means as to say how to get into the provinces reporting. It just cannot be. Yes, there's so much that we have just picked up. There are things that we're going to be asking for you. But I think that one was just, you know, was just leading just to say, whoever from all of us here, seated here, go to our constituencies with due oversight, we just cannot have it like that. It is just a, not a true picture and reflection of some of the things that are going on there. Maybe looking at this slide, we need to separate it to say, yes, maybe in school A, when we talk of sanitation, they are toilets, are they functional? What is the problem, you know? Because, it's very much unacceptable what you are getting there. But thank you very much for the presentation. Honorable members, let me open up for you. Let me open up for you. Let me take the discussion, not only questions, because we also need to add and also propose to the department to say in the near future, really, how are we going to be receiving some of the presentations that are given. I still honorable Fanny Vat, honorable Bosch, Pastor is to be Bosch often.
Honorable Kibuli,
honorable David, honorable
Pastor
Boshoff, honorable Costa, can I take you that one of you stand, honorable Costa.
Chair, thank you. I just when we have prepared for this meeting took up NEEMS report and some of the questions put to the department as well as a lot of media reports, even Gauteng, on sanitation. Now, it is habit that every time we are somewhere we do oversight, but especially when there are bad publicity. Now, I don't believe that NEEMS and this report actually marries, if you read it. Because the latest NEEMS report actually says that 4,986 schools still only have pit latrines. It also says there 68 schools only with no toilets. Just last week, I went to a school in Falwater, the Alwawa Primary, 182 learners. You cannot go to that toilet. Another child in Limpopo is going to drown. So that means it is not a toilet. There's no sanitation because you can't go in there. And I showed the pictures a week or two ago in Parliament. If you go to Nkumalanga in the Witbank area, I visited schools there. We had a sports day. There weren't toilets. You couldn't go in there. You couldn't walk there. There was wooden portions lying there on bricks to get over the water and whatever else was floating around. And I rented the toilets for those learners, for their visitors that day. It's still not fixed. In fact, my colleague in Mpumalanga legislature was threatened for doing oversight there. Still not fixed. A year later. Now, Chairperson, I really, and I'm not going to say that any official sits here is not aware or is lying to us, but the sanitation facilities at schools in this country is not acceptable. Point. Not acceptable. There is poor toilets. People can't sit in them, and I look, my office is down here, I'll go fetch you the photos if you want to see them. People will fall in there, they will drown. Teachers are in the same situation, because they have to use the same facility, also not, it's inhumane. We should be reporting every single case to the Human Rights Commission and the Equality Court for that matter. The issue is, Chairperson, they're not even water in the toilets. There are no sanitary bins. There are in fact no sanitary pads for the learners. So that cannot be that we come and say that when Minister Aaron Motsoaledi was the Minister of Education. When was that? Who came after him? In Limpopo, I think we're on the third or fourth MEC since Motsoaledi. Cannot be an excuse. But that is what he found, and it is still the same today. It cannot be. I'm terribly sorry to the department. I've said it before, and the lady did mention that they don't only work on the department's day. For the same day, the particular CD program, and we spoke about infrastructure. We go to the far hills of KZN, to the Eastern Cape, to Mpumalanga, well, everywhere, almost except the Western Cape, which is also having their own battle, because people flood it because there is a better education system. I mean, yes, we are building, studying at Swedish schools. We are. Nobody can moan about that. Nobody can deny it. But there are challenges with those schools, too. Because we all know they don't get used immediately. We don't know they've got furniture. I mean, Chair, in 2014, the President actually promised 820 schools from the Eastern Cape school furniture. Can the department tell us of those, that promise exactly what was delivered, where it was delivered? 820 schools furniture in the Eastern Cape alone. It's not been done. And here we go, and we have all these plans. And we are going to do this in 2017, we're going to do this and that, I suppose in 2027 as well. And it's still not done. It doesn't help we come here and we tell the committee chair that we've got these grand plans. The grand plan is not putting a toilet, not running water, not electricity, and not proper classroom. And I'm not even going to go into the textbooks and all of that, because I've asked a question to the department for the proof of last year's delivery notes to Limpopo province in the Eastern Cape. I'm still waiting. November a year ago, great stuff. But Chair, I'm really a bit annoyed with this topic today because we are being lied to by whoever. I'm not saying the provincial staff or the national staff. I'm saying we are being lied to, and it's impossible to go and visit for yourself 24,000 schools in this country. So you are being lied to, and our children are denied dignity in education. It's not acceptable. I'm really getting fed. I'm sitting here 2.5 years fighting for the same. I'm actually very angry.
Thank you, Honorable Commander Scott. What are the
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to support whatever the Chairperson has proposed, or the motion the Chairperson has proposed, that provinces should be a part of a reporting report, a report, because really what we get in provinces is not what the reporting gives. I was on our way to here, I talked to Christoph. I said, you know, in the bus, on our way to work, one of my colleagues asked the person, do you have a portfolio committee today? I said, yes, on what? And I said, on readiness. He said, that's good. Just raise this point that you don't. There are no delivery made for MTN. I said, no, that is provincial thing. Said, no. And everybody who was nearer to me, they said, no, it's a DPE, it's a DPE. So, Chairperson, also to avoid the conflict of ideas or ambiguous reporting, what we have seen is not what we are hearing. It is better to have representatives of the provinces. In your report, I noticed that you haven't mentioned on food, how are you going to support food service schools? Because majority of our schools outside of are food service schools that are catering all types of learners without any support on resources, no rents, no suitable toilets for different types of learners. Another point on those undocumented learners. In my area, I noticed that another cause of these undocumented learners is this influx of foreign people that are from other countries. Okay. Another thing is, according to your assessment and evaluation, how is Eastern Cape? Is Eastern Cape ready on this realignment and amalgamation that they are busy doing? Are they ready? And we as department, are we supporting them on receiving schools? And even the learner transport is really also a challenge with this realignment. I don't want to speak with this Peter Volker in Eastern Cape that since it's a ho-ho. How do we support Eastern Cape to implement this Peter Volker model correctly, because they will complain, but we don't hear the other provinces complaining. How do we support them to implement correctly? Lastly, Chairperson, is on Guyana's schools, those that were banned. Are those schools ready for 2017? Guyana schools, are they ready? Furniture, infrastructure, not even the buildings, because where the schools, where they are built of buildings, but inside the furniture was not ready. Thank you. I don't want to repeat sanitation story because it's in the thing. Is this sanitation? No, what's this?
Thank you very much. All out of the court, can we not go back to what we discussed in the meeting that we did? All out of the morning, it's your turn now. All out of the court, but don't can teach us of the money. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Chairperson, you know, when the presentation is done, we have done the qualification for the officials of the department. And so we will be the provinces. See? What we get is different from what you have presented. On the issue of LTSM, I think we have been there with LCOP. What has been said about the judge. I'm also mirroring myself with the call. That if you are doing school readiness, if we should be calling those who can take this, is not any other person. Come here so that they can answer these questions for themselves. But it's because now we are here and we are opening next. We are doing for the 2017. Do we have any emergency way that can assist us a central number if there is no delivery of such LTS and textbooks? Do you have any number that can assist us quickly? When a school says to us, I did not receive anything, as a member, as a person dealing with those schools, I can quickly call you, or those schools can quickly call you for them to start the teaching. Same with the issue of school accounts. You know, sometimes in January, you will find that the school does no longer have a school transport. They have never been told in Cleveland. Do you have any plan to deal with those? When the school says, this thing has just been discontinued. We had those issues. We have seen how rain has been coming in helping. We must be expecting more during closure. Are we prepared for any storm damaged schools? You know, that if there can be any storm that comes, are we prepared to assist those schools? The program, you know, when we do some visit in schools every January, those of us in the previous lives have been to schools. We understand that a school should not be starting to do a timetable. A timetable when the first day it should already be there. Annual plan which includes the program, the school improvement that should always be there. And this thing should have been submitted to the second office a year before for approval. An annual plan. So that when the school opens already they start to move. When you get into school you don't buy those things. Have you checked those when you're going around? The issue of SASMs. There's been some challenges. I don't know whether you did correctly. But you know, when a child does not have a birth certificate or they don't get the IET of a parent, it doesn't take the child. And you end up having other children that are in the school, but they are not known by the police or something. Have you corrected those things? Because some of you know, there are places in our province of Mpumalanga that are near the border. You know, I don't know whether I'm not saying these kids are from the other countries, but they seem not to have those documents. You see, we're speaking about practical things that are happening down there. What do you do? Because a school is disadvantaged in terms of nutrition and the like when those schools, there are kids which are undocumented and they are in the particular school. And then in the issue of vacancies, I have seen that it is a number of principals and deputy principals posts that have not been filled. But in our constituency, some of our constituencies around the country, and you will find that there is a principal that was employed, but he never set foot on the 4 years, never set foot on the on the school. Another teacher is acting there. He's not even getting the acting allowance. Do you have any plans to deal with those issues? Even the SGP does not know that the principal is there, but he's there. It's on the payroll. Thank you very much.
Hopefully, Honourable is not suggesting that I would recommend it to them if it's not going to take it to school, or not debate for another day. Honourable Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to generally start off with a general point and share the concerns that you raised at the beginning of the meeting, as well as the concerns of my colleague, the Honourable van der Walt. Because we know that the picture is very, very different on the ground. The pictures you're telling us is like a fairy tale, actually, when we look at what's happening on the ground. From our oversight visits and from the feedback that we get from communities, we see a totally different story. Now, in your presentation, it says that every school, for example, has sanitation in Limpopo. But my colleague, who's from Limpopo and is very connected to those communities on the ground, will show you pictures now. She will show you that there are schools with absolute dire state of sanitation, if they have sanitation at all. So what I want to know from the department is, how do you come to the conclusion that every school in Limpopo has sanitation, when we know that that is not the case? We know that that is a lie. What is going wrong with your own system? Because surely your system should be able to pick this up immediately. When you see in a report, or a province reports to you, that every school has sanitation, you must know immediately that that's not true. So what is going wrong with your system? It does, I must say, Chairperson, raise questions about the general statistics that are reported in this presentation. Because it's very difficult to believe these statistics when we see such blatant distortions and falsehoods in certain aspects of the presentation. So it raises questions whether we can actually believe the other statistics in the report. And we can only conclude that there's an underreporting of negative aspects and underreporting of challenges and an exaggeration of some of the successes. And I think that that's very unfortunate, because I think at the end of the day, it's the children who are going to suffer. Even if your reports look good, it's actually the children on the ground that are going to be suffering. And I think that's a huge concern for all of us. But I'm just going to go into some of the specifics in the report. I'm going to start at slide 15 on unplaced learners. According to your statistics, 41% of learners are unplaced in Gauteng, by far the biggest percentage of unplaced learners in the country. Can you just tell us why exactly Gauteng is a specific problem when it comes to unplaced learners? And does it relate to the online admissions process that was implemented last year by MEC Lesotho? The second thing is on slide 20, on the post-provisioning. Can you just tell us, one thing you didn't say in the report was whether or not there has been an increase or a decrease in the basket of posts in the country and by province. Can you just sketch out that picture for us? Because we want to get a sense of the learner-teacher ratios for next year. Because we do suspect that in some provinces there's going to be a smaller basket of posts due to increased wages as well as budget constraints. Then on the educator, the teacher vacancies, can you just tell us why the Eastern Cape and KZN are struggling to fill their vacancies? Eastern Cape, 6,493 vacancies, and KZN, I think it's 2,649, by far the worst in the country. What exactly is the problem? Why are those provinces in particular struggling to fill those vacancies? When it comes to the workbook delivery, I think it's absolutely unacceptable that North Attempts have been delivered in Gauteng, Limpopo and Mpumalanga, Volume 2. Can you just tell us why they are so far behind? What is happening there? And when do they need to be delivered by to meet their deadline? Then on the textbooks, I see that Limpopo and Free State haven't issued you a report on their textbook delivery. So it seems that we don't have any sense of where they are with their progress with the delivery of textbooks. Why have they not submitted their reports, and what action is being taken against them to ensure that those reports are submitted? And then lastly, there is a slide on the caps, on the curriculum. It says that a number of concerns have been raised by teachers, subject specialists, and education stakeholders on the CAPS. Can you just elaborate and tell us exactly what concerns have been received in relation to CAPS? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to everybody. Most of the questions have been asked. What I would like to know is with regard to the infrastructure. In the beginning of the year, the Minister said that Department of Correctional Services would be approached to start making desks. Her exact words were, if there's a will, there's a way. I'd like to know from the department whether a MOU has been entered into with Correctional Services in the delivery of desks. Just recently we've seen children sitting under trees 4528 desks in the Eastern Cape, which is totally unacceptable. Now the filling of vacancies on oversight the other day with a portfolio committee, Limpopo mentioned, one of the unions mentioned, that 700 posts are going to be cancelled in Limpopo. I'd like to know if we, as the committee, could get a report on this, plus in Mpumalanga that has said on oversight that 400 posts are going to be cancelled. Many of the positions, as has been touched on by our committee members, is that these positions are filled on an acting basis. This is totally unacceptable because many people that act are not appropriately trained to be in these positions, and it invariably it impacts on their pension should they go on retirement, etc., etc. So if these people are appropriately trained, why can they not be appointed into these positions? So if we can get a report on how many people are in acting positions from HODs right through to principals. Speaking of all these sanitation problems that we have, last year, my colleague, Oliver van der Walt, asked what the possibility would be of appointing janitors at all the schools to ensure that people check up on ablution facilities, sanitation facilities, and the report said that the department would look into it, and we still haven't received a report on that. With regard to SA SAMS oversight, and this was with the DBE as well, principals have said or alluded to the fact that there are too many administrative processes. Many of them don't even use SASAM. So could we as portfolio committee have a report on how many schools are using SASAM? You spoke about some provinces being slow with their admission responses, and you left it at that. What are the steps that the department is taking to ensure that these provinces are on par with regard to that? Funza Lushaka placements. Gauteng, North West and Western Cape have done their placements. The other six provinces haven't. This is also totally unacceptable. It is not fair towards a student that has finished or graduated and no placement is made to him or her. If we could get a report on how many have completed how many have graduated and how many have been placed. And then the LTSM for special schools and full service schools. I would like a report on that as well. Oversight has indicated that many of these schools do place orders, but what is delivered doesn't coincide with the order. It would appear that departments just drop off any form of LTSM to these schools and expect these schools to make do with what they are given. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kosho. Honourable Len Kosha. Len and Honourable Majibo Kodi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for Ms. Joy for the report. I'm just having three issues to raise with you. The first one, I wanted to check with regard the the admission policies, the inconsistent part of it from a different school. I wanted to know if the department have a standard guideline with regard to such policies. But do you have a guideline that needs to be followed in order to draw up a policy? If yes, what happens to those that are really not using your guidelines? Because the report here says that they deviate much. If no, why don't you have a guideline? The other issue is in slide 12. It's with regard to the vacancy rate versus the excess educators. I need clarity here because you have got vacancy for principal, HODs, and staff teachers. Then you also have access for both. Does that mean those that are there are not well qualified to can occupy the vacancies? If not, what do you want to do about that? How do you want to assist that situation to ensure that they are redeployed so that we don't have excess versus a vacancy while we've got people that are there in the system? Are you planning to retrain them, those that you feel are not up to the task that is expected of them? The other issue is on slide 41, page 21. It's related to maintenance, and I want to talk about furniture in Jefferson. That what are the plans to ensure that the furniture is maintained? Because when a desk is broken, they just throw it away, and then they wait there for them to become 100 or 200 so that they can get a service provider. What happened to the factotum? I think I'm asking this factotum for the second time. Can I maybe explain what the factotum is? Is the person who was employed at school, when there's a window broken, the person will fix it. When the door is broken, the factotum will deal with it. When the desk is broken, the factotum will deal. When it needs painting, that was the duty of the factotum. What happened to such people? Maybe they will be assisting in this regard. Where if one desk is broken, it will just be attended by tomorrow, and then we have them. It's not that really the number that we are getting that day, it's a shortage of faith. When we visit school, you get certain areas, passages, where they are being packed. Right? They are not being maintained, but learners are sitting down. Lastly, I want to ask the indulgence from the chairperson. If you allow me, I want to address Honorable Van der Walt on what has happened. Because I call it bullying to myself. Really, if you allow me, I wanted to address just 1 minute.
Afterwards, you can have an hour with me. Okay. Thank you.
Deputy Chair and the staff of the President's meeting. Mine will be a general question or comment, taking advantage of the school readiness monitoring. Yes, we appreciate the school readiness. It's very important for the benefit of our learners. But what do we do about our learners when they get to school? This is the information that I get from different teachers and communities. They go back, they go to break at 10 o'clock, and by the time they come back into class, some they are in a state of madness. Some they are sick, some they do very funny things. Much as I know this is not in the competence of the Department of Education to monitor what is happening around the school. But at the end of the day, with all what the department is trying to do to get the best out of the learner, at the end of the day, the learner does not perform well because of the drug laws, the shipping, and everything that is around the community. And communities are scared to talk because they're afraid of being intimidated. So I thought I must just call this chairperson because the department will do everything to get the learners right. But if there's going to be so much disturbance around the school, definitely we're not going to get the best out of the children if this kind of situation continues. Especially in the area around Mushonto, municipality, or after Bo district, was 13, was 17, was 18, was 12. So many of these rural areas, the drugs, the shebeens, it's just out of control. The communities are scared of what is happening. I thought I must just tell this person, because at the end of the day, the learner is going not to perform. And yet the department is doing everything to try and get the best out of the learner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, Ms. Gabela, I think the point that is already the top priority to the QMCC programs. These are such programs that we're expecting to get from the department. As we are saying, the program is the bridge between the community and the department and the schools. These are the programs that we need to see. And most of the things that I can raise in the committee today. For me, even the issue of the Shuban policies, the parents, the communities must understand exactly why are those books needed. Because you can only have these retrieval policies on paper at schools, but if the communities, if the parents themselves do not understand well and take part in these things, we're not going to achieve them. We always keep on saying we've got policies that are well, that are not well implemented. We do have that program within the DBB. Let's see the program talking to the programs that are making, so that they will be that constant communication with the community. We are always saying we're always sponsoring programs and projects to QMCC because we want to see that unit working. We want to see them helping us and the community. Honorable Kwanza, you have enough.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think they've covered everything, but I want to emphasize the issue of furniture in terms of quality. Because even the factory term that COSA is talking about is the quality of the material that is used in the furniture is of good quality. Then we cannot experience such quite a number of damages on our furniture. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can I also add to the list of questions that have been put? In as much as honorable members have said, Ms. Gilbert, I used to say, sometimes we pity you as DPP because you come with a report that we're just picking a report within ourselves most of the time because on a serious note, we cannot expect you to run around the 25,000 schools that are going. But at the same time, you cannot stop asking this question because there was something, there was in fact to us and we want to see these things happening. In no way where we say we don't want to see the provinces improving, it's so good they are improving. I just make one example. Limpopo was one of the provinces where when you look at the level or the rate of temporary educators with those foreign and international, it was leading. But the report that you are getting today, when it talks to the issue of temporal educators, even Bobo is one of the provinces with less than 10%, of which is good if that is the is a true improvement. Really, we commend the department, that department for doing that. But as we are saying, because we have got all the reports throughout the years, it's one of the areas that as a committee we need to make a follow-up on so that we can sit here knowing that we're not saying we don't have your report. But what we always say as a committee, what you come in with your report and the information that we have to, you know, work together because at the end of the day, we want the child to receive quality public education. It's one of the things that we have to follow as a committee. It's quite a good improvement, really, if Limpopo is like that now. But, you know, it was quite quick and it's good. It means they worked very hard. We need even to go there and commend them, but to find out exactly if it's like that, then we commend. That is what we do as a committee. But thank you very much for that report. Ms. Yobeta, in your delegation, again, one thing that is always a worrying factor, we always discuss it on as a committee. It's when you report on the issues of LTSM. Let me say, yeah, LTSM, where we separate workbooks, learner workbooks, textbooks, and stationery as such. Yes, in as much as we know, with learner workbooks, they come straight from the DBE. And we can assure you, as we go around, volume one is there, we all know it's there, volume two, go to other schools, it's there, and we know that it's for the later part of the year. They are doing very well, yes, we'll take that. Come to the issue of textbooks, of which is the provincial competence. We're not doing well. There might be blind spots even from the side at the DBE, but we need to find ways and means to say what is it that we can do to make sure that those learners receive what is due to them. Yes, the issue of retrieval, which has been rightly spoken to, is a challenge, and that cannot be left like that. But we go around, just like the Eastern Cape, who are just from there, where the school will say for a period of 3 years, we have not received even a single book. Yes, we agree, we cannot have the whole bunch of books. If there are 53 learners, we cannot get 53 year after year. Those top-ups, if we don't even see those top-ups now in the school, what are we saying? Those are the things that we say, DBE, yes, you get the report, but can we zoom in and make sure that we find and we rectify those mistakes? Come to the issues of stationery. Most of the provinces have done it centrally, of which is good because there were a lot of challenges when it was done school by school. But the issue of quality, the fact, when we go out to those schools, there will be a huge outcry to say, yes, we are receiving this, but look, it's breaking. The quality is not there. Let us look at the value for money. It's no use to say we are giving them pencils which are going to break within a week. Can we talk on quality? When we talk of readiness, I think as a committee, that is what we are looking at, is to say, with all the complaints that we have received the previous years, where are we for 2017? Have you looked at those things together with the provinces? Again, I'm always worried, my DPP, when it comes to the blind spots, the reports that we get, that excludes Section 21 schools. When we go out from Parliament as a portfolio committee to the provinces, we don't say we are visiting Section 20 or Section 21. The moment we get into the school, they will say, we're Section 21, we're not receiving anything. Mm. And your report does nothing. I was happy to look at Gauteng in one of the slides where they've reported on what is happening with Section 21, with Section 22. Mm. If it's 54% on Section 21, at least we have an idea what is happening. But once you get a report as to say the deliverable has been done 99%, we must always think, we wonder what about Section 21. We know very well that it's not implemented yet. That we're not getting a clearer picture what is happening down there. Mm-hmm. Again, let us have a new format as to say, with all the 9 provinces, can we see both sections when we say things have been delivered, LTSM, stationery is there. Let us have a clear picture, because we cannot afford, it's not for the first time we say this, to always have a number of schools that are not reported on. And as it is now, most of this report, I can assure you, are not reporting on those schools. Only how they have done that, of which we commend the company for doing that. Can you see all the provinces following the trend so that we have an idea what is happening? Because we always be surprised when it goes down, so go down there. You are calling this report very proud as to say things are happening. But when you find we go there, the fact of the matter, things are not the way that they are. If that one too can be attended to, I think as a committee, we will appreciate that. Can I allow you then to respond to the question raised? I know we can still have a follow-up, a second round on some of the things that we've been picking up as your response. Can I hand over to you then?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will respond together with my colleagues. Curriculum issues is the government will respond to. LTSM is the analytic one will respond to. And Mr. Mhlanga here will pick up what he does tend to know about everything in the department. Where I've missed some of the issues, we will come in and pick up on those. Chair, let me start by appreciating the comments and responses, because believe me, we do understand the role of the committee to keep us, to hold us account to account, and really push us on the things that you don't think we are doing well. Having said that, I just want to say, having started with school readiness monitoring a long time ago, the issues that we're reporting on really and honestly are not to deceive or to misrepresent issues under report or over report. We are, however, trying to report what we get and what we, what we receive from provinces as well as what we ourselves uncover, which is why we will then say, however, when we went visiting, this is what we are finding, to try and balance the picture. And so, Chair, I wanted to make those comments. And again, to just say, this is not plans for 2017 in a sense of we will do this. It's a report on the readiness, state of readiness, and therefore what we see as having been done up to now. And some of the areas over time have indeed, because of the sector plan, have become easier to monitor, so that even as we are told untruth, we are able then to zoom in and check, because what you that is not measured, you are not going to be able to go into and see what the issues are. So let me just start with sanitation. Sanitation, I think sanitation, electricity, water, all of those things up front, even in my presentation, I said these are issues that we should see. However, we ourselves, when we go out and I presented even the findings now, and therefore I agree completely with the committee, firstly on the concern of what we are finding there when we know it is not absolutely up to date. And the reason why we're putting it here is that we are saying, here is what they are telling us. We all need to see the extent to which that is true. And that is something I said in the presentation. The minister has been very clear on her concerns herself on issues of sanitation and has been out there. Yesterday she had a teleconference with all 9 provinces, again raising her concerns because of the issues that we presented to her, because of the reports that she's received. She had a teleconference yesterday. As a result, this afternoon, all provincial reports and all provincial plans to deal with this very difficult. So their own reports from their own, again, not mediated by us, will be on the website this afternoon. And that is another way of holding them responsible. With respect to me, we ourselves in the department have seen that these are not, speaking to each other. And therefore, even the report that you get here, the explanation I got, I had a meeting with the infrastructure people yesterday. They said this is what has come from us monitoring. And I just want to explain also the NEC Mutualidi reference. What I said was, when NEC Mutualidi was NEC, one of the first things he did was to push a drive to put in, not to say he established, he found that he pushed to put in enviro loo in the toilet. However, because of lack of maintenance and all sorts of things, we're still encountering the problem. But I apologize to the committee if there was any sense that we were trying to lie or to pull the wool over the eyes of the committee. Certainly not the case. In terms of school furniture, again, I think I'm still dealing with the issues that Honorable van der Waals raised. The promise of school furniture that was made to Eastern Cape schools, that a number of schools have received the furniture. However, the furniture delivery was stopped when it was clear that some schools were oversupplied, some schools were undersupplied, and the district and the second were not managing the transfer of furniture with asset register to where it was needed. And an audit of all Eastern Cape schools in terms of furniture was concluded, and the furniture is now beginning. But we would be happy, Chair, to look at the schools that were promised and report in writing on what has happened to each of those, because I think the department has a responsibility to see to it that those schools that were promised delivery are actually delivered to. In terms of some of the questions that Honorable Basson raised on what we have done in terms of food service schools and I leave those because of LTSM, I leave them to my colleagues who will deal with LTSM. What I will respond to is the issue of undocumented learners. The issue of undocumented learners is an issue. And because as a country, not only as the Department of Education, we are trying to make sure that people who are in the country are known and are documented. What we have done, we raised the issue of undocumented learners, but we have a partnership with Home Affairs. Home Affairs mobile are brought into the school to assist with documentation. It continues to be a challenge, but that's the partnership we have. And what we would appreciate, Honorable Chair, is what Honorable members have been doing to really point us also to individual schools where there are problems. Because when we know where the problems are, then we are better able. I think the schools, as Honorable Chair said, are many. And so we are often not always able to know that in this school there is this problem. But we are assisted by all of the issues that are brought to us by the Honorable Chair. In terms of the readiness of Eastern Cape, in particular with the schools that have been realigned or with the realignment and reorganization of schools, I think the Eastern Cape is readier than it has been. And it's simply because of the team that has been put together that looks at all of those elements. This is a team that's led by a former SD of the Eastern Cape, Jonathan Gordon. It's newly established and it is beginning to work much more systematically. There's a lot that can be done better. Honorable Chair, you yourself have talked about how we could do the advocacy with the communities better. Because some of them, it's not a problem of accommodation of learners. It's not a problem of transport. It is just a refusal by the community. One, sometimes because they have a real attachment to the school which they built themselves. Sometimes it is because they say they have not been consulted. And that's an issue where the department has not been strong. And that's an issue that we have, we are now looking into. The Peter Mokel model, Honorable Basson, you are correct that it seems to be a problem in the Eastern Cape more than anywhere else. We have worked closely with the Eastern Cape. The minister recently assigned the former head of the Western Cape to go and work, and this was one of the main issues, work in the Eastern Cape, bring a team and work with them. It still is presenting a challenge, and therefore our team from the DBE has gone down today to work with the same team to look at this. The Eastern Cape team themselves have accepted that it is a misinterpretation of the policy and a misapplication of the policy to a large extent, and that is what we are working with them on. We're hoping that this is an issue that will be clear. The Giani schools, the Vuani schools, we work in real earnest with partners to make sure that, firstly, they are ready as any child in the country, with books, with teachers, and with accommodation. Accommodation in the form of mobile, more than rebuilding of the infrastructure. But again, that will be looked at in terms of their overall plan, because if those were very small schools that were destined to be made, for instance, then you wouldn't want to replace that school, but you'd like to rebuild elsewhere. But in terms of the learning and teaching program, we believe that area is as ready as any other school. The issue of who distributes, where people register their concerns, whether it is about workbooks, and I'm sure my colleagues will deal with this, we'll talk more, but on overall issues, whether it's admission, we've got a DBE call center. That's the same center that also monitors before we go out monitoring, to check if issues that have been identified have been addressed. That's the same call center that has a team of people that we call every single school that we had identified as having problems. We've done it before, and we continue to do it. Those are the where schools where issues are not resolved. It's the visits that we do in May then to follow up on those schools. Honorable David, I just want to say first of all that you are correct in saying often the picture on the ground is not what you find here, and that's the reason for having teams even from the DPE doing sample monitoring. The information that has come with respect to school readiness is being presented firstly on the 1st of December to all provincial districts. And it's the information that we're getting to say these issues, although these are the reports we're getting, we're not seeing them, you know, when we go on the ground. On the 5th of December, the same information on readiness and what we're finding in the concerns that we have is being presented to HEDCOM on Monday. And the intention, and that's why we had a pre-readiness slot, so that you can raise them, so that these are issues that are addressed before the beginning of school. And I can assure you, we continue to try to make sure that our data is correct by having those checks and balances. It's definitely much better than it used to be, and what we are reporting on is over time, based on a number of things, what we get on the ground, as well as the push that we get from the portfolio committee, all the honorable members, we continue to try and improve the things that we do, but there will always be gaps. But I can assure you, we can trust the steps. I'm not talking about infrastructure steps, but with the rest of the things that are easier. Here, our NIMS was not updated, and there we have more of a challenge in infrastructure. I raised it right at the beginning as one of those areas that continue to confound us. And then in Gauteng, the unsafe learners, Honorable Davis, it's more about spaces. It's not about their online registration. It is really about spaces, and these numbers that I'm talking about are grade 8 and grade 1 learners. But the space, there's only so much space, but they are working on that. Chair, on some of the issues, like for instance, the PPN, and whether there's been an increase or a decrease, can I ask that on some of those issues, because our colleagues from HR are not here, and it's an area that I'm unable to respond to, that those questions that I'm not able to respond to, let me provide the committee with written responses on that, particularly the very critical ones, you know, because I don't have the information here about who would have a decreased number, who would have an increased PPN. Vacancies in Eastern Cape and KZN, those are predominantly rural areas, and where the vacancies are tend to be in the areas where some of the young people don't want to go and teach. They go and get trained at the University of Cape Town, they want to remain in Cape Town. They don't want to go, you know, where they should be trained. So the issue of rurality plays a very huge role. And where the provinces are more predominantly rural, you have a higher vacancy rate, because that's where we have problems filling it. In terms of Fundalushaga, can I just also explain that with Fundalushaga, the placements we're talking about are also provisional placements. So some of these provinces, we were asking everybody to do that. But these are not children who have graduated already. We give an indicative number of those who will graduate, and therefore they place them in advance, and this is what we encourage it. But some of them say these children then don't compete and they don't come. So we're finding it very difficult, but that's an issue that we continue to monitor. For the correctional services, yes, we do, Honorable Boshoff, we do have an MOU system in place. So we are looking at that. I can't remember the issue of post-imminent offer, where that we be cancelled again. Can I ask that if on a, if Mr. Mhlanga can't respond to them, then we provide a written response to it, because I do not know it. The issue of volume one and volume two, I think, or the acting basis, the people who are in an acting basis, again, we have the breakdown. We will produce that breakdown because we have it from our monitoring, the breakdown of who is in a temporary capacity way. And the reason, again, there is no alignment between excess teachers, excess educators, and vacancies. Sometimes it's again in line with, firstly, the profile of the teacher, what do they have to offer? Secondly, is where they're based. Like the young people, some of the teachers, you will not, you know, it's really a challenge to move them from East London to take them to Mississippi, because then they have to move with their families. So it's an issue that we're dealing with. We don't simply leave it there, but we are quantifying it, because once we've quantified it and we have the profiles of those teachers, then we're able to deal with it. You referred to the issue of slow responses. What is the reason for the slow responses, and what is DBE doing about it? We've identified this, and this is an issue that we need to deal with, because it's not something, the issue of establishment of schools has not always been there, and because we've identified it as a problem, we are working with it. We are not in punitive mode yet, because it's a new issue. We're supporting them and trying to understand why they are not responding in the way that they would expect it to. Chair, I think at this point, let me just answer the admissions policies from Honorable Costa. We do have admissions policies, and therefore we continue to work with the provinces. And now that we pick up some of the schools that are not working according to policy, those are the schools that we can be working with provinces to address. Maintenance, I think we agree completely, and the issue of maintenance is an issue, which is why we've raised it as a major area of monitoring. Honorable Majeke talked about the challenges in the communities or around the schools. We have partnerships. For instance, let me raise one that was quite an issue in the Eastern Cape of the taverns close to the schools. We are working with those municipalities, and there are arrangements also that regulate where, how far from the school tavern can be. Again, it's one thing to have policy and another to see it implemented. But we are very much aware of the issue that you raised. We then have a part of our learner wellness program. We have partnerships with SAPS, with health, with social development, working together. But these are issues that we will continue to address. I don't know if I've left out anything that I could have responded to, but Honorable Chair, my final point is we continue to try and tell you and give you the picture of what we are finding, both from provincial reports and from our own monitoring, and say these are the issues that we find, these are the issues that concern us, and we appreciate being pushed. We'll continue to work on those areas. I'm going to ask Mr. Gavender and then Mr. Subban to answer to the issues that relate to them.
Thank you, Honourable Chair members. I'm going to be responding to the issue raised by Honourable Davis regarding tax and give an explanation of what exactly is going on. Honourable members will remember that when the National Curriculum Statement was in place, there were a lot of concerns that were raised throughout the sector in respect of the burden and the administrative load on teachers. Arising out of that, the Minister went out on a limb to ensure that there were public hearings that were held, and that is how the Curriculum and Assessment Policy Statement was then formed, reviewed. So we do as a sector believe that to date this is the most efficient curriculum that we have in place. Notwithstanding that, Honourable Chair members, there are challenges that have been identified with TAPS. And as the DBE, we feel that it's very important that we address them constructively. Now, the challenges have come through to us in various forms. Firstly, we have national subject committees that have been formed, are very functional, and meet twice a year, and they include all 9 provinces as well as teacher unions and in some instances key stakeholders. By the national subject committees, there are specific issues that have been raised per subject for addressing. Secondly, Honorable Chair, for the first time the national department went out this year to the 9 provinces to conduct school-based assessment workshops, engaging with provincial and district officials. By those engagements, a whole range of issues were also raised regarding CAPS. And then thirdly, the national department manages learner performance through the National Strategy for Learner Attainment. Every quarter, reports are provided by provinces, and the gaps in the reports to a large extent have also been uplifting the issue of challenges in CAPS. And then lastly, we've also had submissions from teacher unions, teacher associations, drawing to our attention some of the challenges. Just to explain very quickly, there are several challenges, but I'm just going to package them quickly in 2 areas. The first package of challenges pertains to assessment. In the Curriculum and Assessment Policy Statement, Chapter 4 deals with assessment. And we have found that a large number of the complaints pertain to assessment, for example, assessment tasks. In some subjects, the concern is that there are far too assessment tasks. In other subjects, we find that there are assessment tasks that are given, but they are not weighted and there are no marks that are allocated to them. In other instances, there are common assessment tasks that are provided in subjects, but there is no guidance given as to whether they are mandatory or not. So this is a choice factor. Then there is also informal assessment that is as part of that package, but it's not regularized. And we feel, for example, those are some of the things that need to be addressed. Another package of concerns when it comes to CAPS deals with the content-related matters. In some subjects, there are topics that are provided for teachers to teach, but it's done in a very broad manner. It's not specified. Secondly, and importantly, there are topics that are allocated and time that is given for that content to be covered, but we found that there's a disjunction. That in some instances the time is far too less for the content that is expected to be covered for a particular month or a particular term. We've also found in terms of the content that the content knowledge that we want our learners to engage with is not matched with the cognitive level that we expect of the system as you would get in Bloom's taxonomy, and we wanted to do an alignment of that. So going forward as DBE, in order to address this matter, what we have done is that we've said we have a short-term, a medium-term, and a long-term solution to the problem. The short-term is that we have done, arising out of all of these consultations, we are currently just finalized a booklet for GET and FET bands covering each of the subjects, which then raises concerns that were put on the table as a challenge and then offers a solution to each of these. We are wanting this to be implemented in January, from January 2017, so that it can bring immediate relief to teachers and lessen some of the burden that they have experienced. There are other changes that we would require to be made which are more medium and long term, which might require policy change, which might require regulation change. So in respect of that, we have set up what we call a CAPS task team. The CAPS task team involves all teacher unions. It involves officials from the Department of Basic Education. It also involves provincial curriculum colleagues as well as district curriculum colleagues. The CAPS task team has had 2 meetings so far, and we are waiting for the first report for the FunLabs team. That report will then enable us how to proceed with our medium and long-term strategy to address CAPS. But we do feel that there's an urgent need for us to do something immediately to bring relief to teachers, hence the whole issue of issuing an official circular with a guideline document for each of the subjects from grade R to grade 12. Thank you, Chair.
When is this testing expected to send that?
Honorable Chair, they have not been given a time frame to complete, but they've been told that the initial thing that they need to provide us with in respect of short term is something that should be done within a 3-month period. So we're anticipating that we have a national Lakota that's taking place on the 23rd to the 25th of January, and the main theme of that is improving learner performance. And one of these key issues in the commission is going to also be this.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. We appreciate the questions that have been asked of RPSM, which has always been at the forefront of challenges. And let me say that we have put out a sector plan and we have guided provinces on the timely delivery of RPSM for the start of the school year, and to which the provinces align their management plans, and we monitor their plans and meeting of the deliverables and outcomes against their management plans regularly. But let me preface the response with a brief on the challenges that we face in the provision of RPSM. One should be aware that RPSM provisioning is always affected by inward and outward migration of learners, influx of learners, as we see from the data and stats on Gauteng and Western Cape, late registrations where schools are not administering admissions, low retention and retrieval of textbooks, which has been forefronted. And of course, if we have low retention and retrieval of textbooks at the end of the school year, it means at the start of the school year, you're already facing a deficit in schools that have low retrievals. And then, of course, many of the provinces have engaged with central procurement of textbooks in being able to ensure that they are able to get the economies of scale benefits from a central procurement model. Of course, the Section 21 schools are reluctant to get involved in that, although some provinces have been able to advocate for that, and you find that in Eastern Cape, some of the schools have joined in, speaking about Section 21 schools. So, in provision of LTSM is cyclical in nature, in that orders for the forthcoming year or the proceeding year is placed around July, August and September, and delivery takes place in October and November, and then you have the issue of retrieval at the end of the year. So unless you're able to say I expect that my retrieval is going to be low, therefore I'm going to buy as much as 50% of textbooks, which is unaffordable in the present climate. So you find yourself buying for whatever shortages the schools declare in around the months I have stated, and then you arrive at the end of the year and you find at the beginning of the year, I don't have textbooks because the learners are not returnable. And you're quite right, Chair, that we need to use the structures to ensure that communities understand the importance and parents understand the importance of returning the books. Some of the schools have used some method which is in a way unlawful and unconstitutional, holding back reports, not giving textbooks in the new year, and they've been taken to task for that. So they find themselves, you know, in a catch-22 situation. I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. So at the start of the school year, you would have now shortages of textbooks. Then, unless the province or the schools have a budget that has been set aside, that they can do mop-up deliveries at the start of the school year for the shortages that they have derived from the retrieval. So I'm saying this is cyclical, and many of them wait till the April month for the new budget to kick in for them to buy, you know, more textbooks. But already you are in the cycle of procuring for the new school year. So I just wanted the committee members to understand our challenges and also to say that what we are trying to do, we are attempting to roll out in the start of the new school year, and it's very linked to SAMS. If you look at the SAMS model, there's a component for LTS in there, where schools have to order online, have to, where retrieval is captured. So we're interfacing that with another more sophisticated system which will capture RTSN for every school in the country. I believe that will solve some of our problems, and we can also hold schools accountable for RTSN retrieval and have a record. As one of the members, I think it was Honorable van der Bosch, who was speaking about the proof of delivery. So having said that, let me respond to the questions directly. On the proof of deliveries for Limpopo and Eastern Cape, we are immediately able to provide, even the Eastern Cape, we extract provisioning of textbooks right from 2012. And we're able to do that for each school. And what we are doing is actually trying to attach the proof of delivery to that. So I'm saying we have the order for each school, the value of the order, and we are wanting to hyperlink the proof of delivery for each school as well. And the same too for Limpopo, but not only for these provinces. We're wanting to do that for all provinces. So even when the honorable members visit schools, they are able to have upfront what has been delivered for each school, so that you yourself, Chair, can question the principal and say, according to our records, you have received these books. Okay, what has happened to those books? Yeah. So, okay. Then, Honorable Basson, you spoke about no delivery of LTSM in Limpopo. And in particular, I would think that you referred to stationery. Yes, the stationery tender is being finalized, and we believe that we have put, we're working in the province. In fact, we have written to the province to meet with them in the coming week to look at the remedial measures to ensure that the books are delivered before the start of the school year and to expedite the finalization of the tender. Honorable Nguni, I agree about the provinces reporting. What we do have is a quarterly meeting with provinces, but I think what you are referring to is bringing them to this committee to report on LTSM. But further to that, in terms of your request for a number, my personal number is available to all members for any school that reports shortage of textbooks, which I've been dealing with in my unit, and it's 012-357-4195. 012-357-4195. But in addition to that, Chair, we have created a call center for workbooks, which we want to use for textbooks as well, which I have confirmation of. And the number is 086100-4357. For any school to call us where they do not have textbooks or have shortage of textbooks. We will make those numbers available to the committee through the where we are covering any other questions as well. On Honorable Davis's question regarding delivery of Volume 2, Mrs. Kiwaka indicated that we are well in advance with respect to delivery of workbooks. Workbook 1 has been delivered. Workbook 1 is used from the beginning of the school year up to the end of June. Workbook 2 is only used in July of the preceding school year. I can report, since the report that Ms. Chubeka presented, we are now at 60%. Where we say that Gauteng, for example, has a 0%, it's an operational strategy, because Gauteng is central or close, in close proximity to the delivery warehouse. So we keep Gauteng Volume 2 to the end so that we are able to effect delivery at a very short space of time. So that I can assure you, by January, all provinces would have been completed 100% for volume 2, which is only used in July. With respect to Free State and Limpopo, I did indicate that we are meeting with Limpopo. Free State, they've already placed their orders and they have a plan. We checked the remedial plan and the plan is to deliver before the start of the school year. Honorable Boshoff, with regards to special schools, let me say that special schools and full service schools do receive their budgets from which they buy RTSM. But over and above that, the provision of RTSM for special schools, we are providing braille workbooks to all schools for the visually disabled. And in addition to that, we have adapted the textbooks for in braille, from which schools and provinces are purchasing for the 22 schools for the visually disabled. Now, the question is, you know, on braille, is it access to braille work materials or is it access of LTSM for the visually disabled? And our view, Chair, is that we provide LTSM through different means. Braille, yes, and then through electronic means as well. So provinces have also purchased ICT and made LTSM accessible through that. And in particular, Western Cape schools have provided Apex readers and iPads to their schools where they are able to access LTSM for the visually disabled. Chair, on textbooks for Section 20, I think the reference that you made on the question and comment that you made, Section 20 and 21. In fact, we put out a draft policy for LTSM, and many of the comments, even on issues of central procurement, came from Section 21 schools who want to retain the function of budgeting. And unfortunately, Chair, it's schools who have benefited through the process. And some of the schools are even, although they receive a budget from norms and standards for textbooks, making learners buy books in these schools. So we are requesting from provinces for reporting on both Section 20 and 21 schools, and the reference I made earlier to the electronic system will provide us to the information for both Section 20 and 21 C schools. But if we look at Gauteng, an example that Gauteng has employed is that they do not transfer the budget to Section 21 schools unless they demonstrate what their order is going to be for the year. So I think it's a good practice which we are taking to other provinces as well, so that we are readily able to see what is the school going to buy. I think, Chair, I've covered all, unless you can remind me of anything that I have not covered. Okay. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for your response. But on the issue of dictionary, especially with the Limpopo, can we put this on the floor? Please, Limpopo has been one of the provinces that have been having challenges for over years now. So we are really worried if at this moment we are still getting the report today. The tender processes are just in final, meaning that they haven't started, you know. It gives us that we are not happy to say what will be happening come January, the first day of school. appealing. We are saying as a committee, give us a full list of reports, even during the holiday, where the secretary our secretary is very much will even plead with him, even during the holiday. Can we get a progress report on how far are you, so that we get prepared even ourselves to know exactly what we are awaiting for come January, the first day of school. That is the plea, that is the recommendation that we are putting forth to you. Can we get it as from today, if ever there is anything but movement, can we as a committee constantly get in the progress report, because we are really worried about the problems. We don't want to see those cannot suffer again next year. So whatever intervention, whatever progress, do promise us that even during December, January, that's the progress report that you are going to be getting when it comes to that problem. Can you quickly get the follow-up questions if ever there are any honorable members? I know Honorable Sandy Platt has got one. Okay. Two. Three. I might as well.
Chair, thanks for the opportunity. I just want to say something while you ended off with Limpopo and stationery. I just want to say something. I mean, the Minister has thought, since I've been on education, always said by the end of the year when schools close, which I assume is within a week or so, all stationery and books and textbooks will be delivered so that we can open with whatever we need. So, yeah, we all remember we went to visit the room full of emptiness in Limpopo when there was nothing. So now it seems stationery isn't there either. But I want to say this, and we all know today, of course, is the D-Day for the norms and standards for the Minister report on since the regulations were gazetted in 2013 on the access to basic service provision to all our public schools. That includes water infrastructure and electricity and sanitation, of course. So it means that, in fact, we didn't make that deadline, and I see on the media, it seems that that will now be reviewed as well, those norms and standards. But here it is, and I would like to quote our spokesperson for the department. We actually said this morning, EMCA quoted to say that our progress and our work does depend entirely on the resources that we have. I always maintain we have enough money, so we spend it wrongly. That's it. But we don't get that right. Now, in that word specific, why then 14th November, the minister actually also reported during a media briefing, and it was quoted that the Eastern Cape were withheld completely the instalments, and it was diverted to the other provinces because it was very clear that they were continuing underspending. And here we are reporting on the Eastern Cape and how far behind they are with other provinces, but they just can't spend their money correctly. And who are the sufferers? And who? Our children and their economic future, to look after themselves and their families and their own children one day. But Chair, I'm on a city, because I am of the view, and I wish it will be recorded so next year we can talk about it again in Parliament. There's something wrong in the ASIDI program. Something very wrong. And I'm sure we'll find it next year. Because when this program started, and I interjected myself earlier today when I wanted to speak on ASIDI, I mean, the rollout in 2011-12 had the following in mind and commitment. We committed ourselves to 510 schools that were built with inappropriate structures will be replaced by new schools. So in 2011-12, we targeted 49 schools, zero. The next financial year, zero. Only in 2014 March did we deliver those schools. They were completed then. In 2012-13, we targeted 140 schools. 29 at that stage were only completed in the Eastern Cape.
which on the original list of 510 inappropriate structured schools were 442. So from 2011-12 to 2013, we only did 29 of the 440 schools, which is shocking if you look at the Eastern Cape infrastructure. And in 2014-15, there were another 150 schools targeted. We either, and I've said it before, Chair, in 2014, we are setting our targets wrongly. You can't make a target for delivery if you're only going to plan it on paper that year. Your target must be what you will be delivering. And I would really, in all honesty, like the department to sit here and tell us exactly what schools of this 510 were built, when will they, were they finished and handed over, complete. Teachers, learners, desks, transport, whatever goes with that. Whatever goes with a new school. And I'm the first one to applaud all the CD schools that you finished. I've seen them. I've been to most of them on my own time because I believe an unannounced visit, if you want the truth. I've seen them, and I applaud the administrator and the department for that. But I'm saying, and I say it again, there's something drastically wrong with our CD program in this department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Madam White. So, as you have said, you are raising another topic for the new year to come, where we've already agreed to look at the issues of ICT, because the first of the matter, we know that we have 513 schools in the Eastern Cape who are still featuring in the issue of rationalization and so forth. Indeed, we still need to have that day where we can look at that, but we know very well when we talk of the schools that we identified and also the issue of rationalization, because in as much as I agree with you, we not agree for the two students running into different cases leaving the school where they are not allowed to be. Let them finalize this. We need that presentation so that we move on together. Because really for me, we can't say as a committee we want the 500 something schools, whether the need is not there, but let us have that discussion, let us open up, see where the need is and how far have they gone with that. It's one of the topics that we need to engage on indeed as a committee. Honourable Davis, your hand was also up for the forum.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say that we're quite disappointed at the way the statistics are being managed or mismanaged by the department, because, you know, Ms. Chubeka says that she agrees with us that the stats are not up to date and that they're actually provisional and they still need to be checked and verified. But she's only saying that now. She never said that at the beginning. So all of the statistics in this document were actually presented as facts in the beginning. Now, if the honourable members sitting around the table hadn't done their oversight duties and didn't have their finger on the pulse, we wouldn't have been able to say to you, well, actually, that's not our experience on the ground. Now that we've said that, now only then did you acknowledge that the statistics are not correct. And, you know, Chair, I think it's a big problem when officials come here and they give us the wrong statistics. And then when they're challenged, they pretend, no, no, these aren't the final statistics, these are provisional statistics. I think there's an element of sophistry here, and I think it's an element of manipulation. And frankly, it points to a misleading of Parliament. And I think it's a very serious matter, and I don't think we should just let it rest. That's my first comment. Then I just want to say that, you know, we've been talking a lot today on infrastructure and sanitation and that kind of thing. And those things are very important. We need to get the right statistics so that we need to know how the rollout of those things are happening. But one big element of concern are the teacher vacancies. And when I asked about the why the vacancies are so high in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, we received a very frank and honest response from the department, and I appreciate that. And the response is that teachers don't want to go and teach in those rural areas. Now, this is a huge concern because we see every year the rural areas are falling behind other areas in our matric results. So KZN, I think it fell 10 percentage points in 1 year in the matric results last year. And it's clearly because we can't attract the best and brightest teachers to teach in those areas. And this is not something that we can just simply state as a matter of fact. We actually need to interrogate it. We need to get an understanding of why it is happening and why we cannot incentivize good teachers to go to those provinces. Because if we can't incentivize teachers to do that, those provinces are going to continue to fall further behind. So please can you just give the committee a sense of what is happening with the rural allowance, because we know there's an extra allowance for teachers to go teach in those provinces. Has that been a success or a failure? It seems to not be working, so I'd like to hear your opinion on that. And given that that doesn't seem to be working, and that we're not attracting the best teachers to the rural provinces, what other incentives is the department considering to attract the best and the brightest teachers to where they are needed the most? Thank you.
Thank you. So am I not bringing out anyone? My last one that I want to add on the follow-up question is the issue of language policies vis-à-vis the admission of students. We're doing a lot about being, you know, working this year, 2016. Can you talk to that issue? How are we tackling that issue? I know, even in other provinces, I can give you various number of schools, even in Cape and where there are so many parents, you know, they go to those schools, let me make a particular example, it's a good school, but the medium of instruction is African. They use the same, parents want English language classes to be open. It's a challenge of which I think it's a challenge throughout the country. That's to say, how do we tackle that issue of the language policy vis-a-vis the space at school and the inclusive, you know, where we do not discriminate just because of the language and so forth. It's quite a challenge within our country. And I can tell you, I'm still going to see more come January as we have started, because we are saying the parents are taking up now the issue of registering before the end of the year. Yes, that's up, it's there, it's right, but come January we are going to be doing so many of those cases. Surely there is something that you can share with us as DVD on the way that you are trying to sort of that challenge. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chair, I think some of the questions are comments that we have to take on, but maybe my colleagues on issues of the issues raised by Honourable Sandevans, if they think there are issues that they are able to respond to after they do that. But maybe let me start with the issues that Honourable Davis raises. One, just to state on record, Chair, that the steps that you provided here were not being provided as preliminary steps. The steps that I said do not necessarily align, and it's something that we picked up ourselves, is the steps that are on you and what we get from colleagues on sanitation, electricity, and those areas. But everything that we provided here, to the best of our knowledge, is the data that has been collected credibly, and we are presenting. We are not saying when we go out there we need to get that you find that and all that. So what I want to say is just to really place that on record here, because I don't want it to look like we came here and then we you know, backpedaling on some of the issues. We haven't changed any of the statements that we've made. We have clarified when there's been questions that we have not changed positions. In terms of teachers in rural areas, the department has always been mindful or has been increasingly mindful of the challenge of teachers not wanting to go into rural areas as much. And the incentives policy was brought in specifically for that. We would ask here that you ask for the proper presentation of that, how it was worked and what is happening around that. Because in some of the provinces have simply said, you know, our province is almost completely rural. We want to give allowances to everybody. It doesn't work that way. And therefore, there have been some distortions. So there is a review of that and looking at how to better deal with it. Honourable Davis says, therefore, what else can be put in place? Sunza Lushaka is one of those strategies to take teachers to rural areas. In the beginning, it didn't work as well, because again, children would then opt when they're given options to go to the more urban areas. But in the last few years, what we have brought in
is district-based recruitment, and therefore, if it's a community, they recruit from their children for funding. So it's no longer just everybody, you know. So those kids are meant are recruited from those homes, because our belief is that if they are recruited with that understanding, children who have grown up in those areas will be better prepared to go and teach them than if you just, you know, distribute them from a central school. And that's what we are doing. So the issue of ensuring that the quality teaching in rural areas continues and something that we are paying attention to.
Thank you very much for this. Thank you very much, Mr. Beza, for...
Sorry, the issue of admission policies.
Yes, I
know. That's one of the areas where we say there's a distortion of policies. Thank you for the words that I used in the presentation. But that's where some schools will use the issue of language to keep, you know, children out. And that's where those committees that have been set up are committees that deal with that. So some of the issues that you see where you find, for instance, maybe in housing, the certain schools have been asked to do this, that's where the department intervenes, because it is real. But when you do it just as a general policy, the policy is there. They still don't do it. So we're dealing with individual cases. And I can say, in line with what I said earlier, where honorable members are aware of this happening in particular schools, we would like to know, and that's where we intervene.
No, thank you very much. Honorable members, we're still going to have this session surely at the beginning of the year. Because what we are getting even here is some of the things the department is still going to be working on, and it has become our tradition. We need to get a session again on exactly what has happened, maybe in time after the school is open, so that we know exactly what is the status, how the school opened, and some of these questions are still going to be coming up in the next year. But thank you very much. You have given us that idea. We hope and believe even ourselves have contributed on your work as to say what is it that you need to look at moving forward to the beginning of 2017. We have raised so many challenges of which we ever charged you that once you have raised that thing, you are going to be attending them to them as you need. Yeah, honorable members, tomorrow again, we are having that meeting with the stakeholders. It will be taking place at the old assembly chamber and have quite nine as usual. Yeah, let's go. I did promise at the beginning of the meeting, Quincy, that you'll be distributing the pages to the members. Can I check how or is everything up? Okay. Those are packages for the submissions that the stakeholders have made. They are in your pigeonhole for us to go and do the for tomorrow. Let's go and prepare. Let's go and have lunch. Then we'll